Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
It's almost as though St. Paul said, "You know, guys, I could have said it so much briefer. Here it is in a nutshell. Let all you do be done in love."
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 1 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. In our previous podcast, we heard St. Paul tell the Corinthians how they were to participate in the great offering he was gathering for the saints in Jerusalem. Each Lord's Day, everyone was to set something aside, and they were to store it up so that when he came, he wouldn't need to attend to the collecting. And then he'd let them choose who they wanted to send with the offering, and that person would be accredited by them. Remember, he said if it was advisable, he'd go along with them, but his tentative plan was to stay put where he was in Ephesus, at least till the Feast of Pentecost. He thought he might winter with the Corinthians, but all that was subject to the Lord's will. He did not want to make promises he couldn't keep, and yet he hoped for some quality time with them. Still, the work at Ephesus was so great, and the devil clearly was alarmed and was busy stirring up opposition. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning at the 10th verse. "When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 to 14. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, you're ready to dig into this passage from God's Word for today? Let's get to it. Verse 10, "When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am." St. Paul and St. Silas, of course, had picked up St. Timothy and Derbe and Lystra, as we learn from Acts 16, significantly right after the Council of Jerusalem. Remember, that council reached the decision that being saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and not by the law, a man does not need to be circumcised in order to be acceptable to God. But Paul, in his great Christian freedom, took Timothy, who was the son of a Greek man and a Jewish woman, and he goes ahead and circumcises him. Why did he do that? We're told because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. In other words, for the sake of Paul's mission to the Jews, he freely gives what he would never let anyone demand of him. St. Timothy's mother Lois and grandmother Eunice had taught him the faith as a youngster, see 2 Timothy 1:5, and Paul is more than happy to have St. Timothy join the apostolic mission and become Paul's protege. You recall in 1 Timothy, he affectionately denotes him as my true child in the faith, 1 Timothy 1:2, and in the second letter to Timothy as my beloved child, 2 Timothy 1:2. But he was apparently inclined to be a bit timid. St. Paul reminds him in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. And he was not apparently in the strongest of health, since Paul has to tell him to take a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments in 1 Timothy 5:23. So, reading between the lines of Paul's words to Timothy and what he here tells the Corinthians, basically, put the lad at ease among you, suggests a very gentle soul who might well have had a nervous disposition and was always inclined to undervalue himself. But Paul tells them flat out that Timothy's a hard worker for the Lord and has the same concerns he has himself. Then he adds verse 11. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Despise, of course, means not so much to hate as to think little of, not to pay attention to him, to regard him as not all that important. Of course, St. Timothy is not the great apostle. He's probably no fluid speaker like Apollos was, about whom we're about to be reminded. And perhaps most damning of all, they thought of him as a mere kid. 1 Timothy 4:12, St. Paul has to encourage him, "Let no one despise you for your youth." I wonder if St. Timothy's personality just led him to be the sort of person that's easy to overlook and easy to undervalue. St. Paul certainly does not see him that way, and he wants others to recognize the hidden gem they have in this humble servant of Christ. So he tells the Corinthians, help him on his way in peace. That is, don't you argue with me about why you should help this young man. He is doing the Lord's work, and I'm sending him to you. By that we understand that St. Timothy is probably carrying this very letter to the Corinthians on Paul's behalf, and he wants to hear when Timothy comes back again that Paul's letter has been delivered, heard, and done the job of correcting them and calling them to repentance. And so, in peace, has a little bit of the flavor of don't shoot the messenger just because you might not like the message. By the way, we don't know who the brothers are that St. Paul is expecting to return with Timothy. He might have sent for some specific members of the congregation to come to him there in Ephesus. Verse 12, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. Paul wanted Apollos to head back to Corinth. And why might that be? It might be for Apollos to confirm in their ears what St. Paul had just written to them. Obviously, there were folks there in Corinth who were just very taken with this fluent and eloquent man, so knowledgeable in the scriptures. So much, remember, that some of them were going around saying they were of Apollos, while others claimed to be of Cephas or of Paul, as though any of these men were seeking to attach folks to themselves rather than to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Apollos wasn't up for the visit at this present time. Like St. Paul, he might have been reluctant to leave the work he was involved in there in Ephesus, since it was bearing such mighty fruit. And notice that St. Paul does not presume to order, but to urge. He never forgets that he's not Apollos' lord or master, but that Apollos serves the same Lord he does. St. Paul will remind the Corinthians in his second letter to them, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Isn't that beautiful? Helpers of their joy. In any case, Apollos apparently assured Paul he hadn't forgotten the Corinthians and he would head back there when he had the opportunity. Verse 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Now we get to a summary of brief exhortations. St. Paul often ends his letters with instructions like this. First, be watchful. Watchful of what? On the one hand, the picture is of the shepherd who watches over his flock by night, lest the marauding wolf break in and haul off or chow down on one of the flock. St. Peter would tell us in his first epistle, words, by the way, which the church reads in her nighttime prayer, Compline, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. But there's also the vigilance that Jesus exhorts to, that we be watchful for his return, his appearing in glory. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. St. Matthew 25, verse 13. I suspect Paul had both kinds of vigilance in mind here. But then he also adds, stand firm in the faith. I remember one day, my friend Marty Stansel helped me get this. She asked me if I understood what St. Paul meant, and I said, I think so. And she said, well, do it. Stand up. I did. And this little woman, she plowed into me and nearly knocked me over. She said, you were standing, but you weren't standing firm. With your feet firmly planted on the rock of Jesus Christ, ready for the assault, you stand firm. And so, act like men, be strong. The picture is similar to Ephesians 6, and Paul is telling them to stand their ground like soldiers, to be strong and courageous. But what is the ground that they're to defend, that they are not to yield on? Listen, verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. That is the high ground of Jesus that St. Paul calls them and us not to yield on, not for one iota, to stand firm and guard it, that everything we do be done in love. Love for God above all, yes. Love for our neighbor as ourselves, yes. And love for the God who meets us in our neighbor as our neighbor, the God who took on flesh and blood for us, Jesus Christ. I think this little verse is the most amazing summary of the entire book. It's almost as though St. Paul said, you know, guys, I could have said it so much briefer. Here it is in a nutshell. Let all you do be done in love. Chrysostom told his congregation in 4th century Antioch, if love had been present, the Corinthians would not have been puffed up. They would not have been divided into factions. They would not have gone to law before the heathens or indeed at all. If there had been love in the church, that notorious person would not have taken his father's wife. They would not have looked down on their weaker brethren, and they would not have boasted about their spiritual gifts. In other words, if they just lived in the love that is in Jesus, crucified for their sins, risen for their justification, Paul could have saved a lot of ink. And that's where we're going to stop for today. Up next, St. Paul will guide the congregation there in Corinth to recognize and respect and submit to the leadership, the household of Stephanas, those people who devote themselves to the service of the saints, to God's people. Those folks meant the world to Paul when they showed up to cheer him in his work, and they refreshed his spirit. And he's confident they'll refresh the congregations as well. He tells them to recognize them. So, till our next podcast, folks, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.